Call the meeting in order and ask the clerk to do a roll call.
Powakalinda Bandapuya Indian. City of Blythe.
Here. Here.
City of Cathedral City.
Here.
City of Coachella.
Here.
City of Desert Hot Springs.
Present.
City of Indian Wells.
Here.
City of India. City of La Quinta.
Present.
City of Palm Desert. City of Palm Springs. City of Rancho Mirage.
Here.
County of Riverside.
Here.
Torres Martinez, Desert Cahuilla Indian.
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. I'm going to ask the City of La Quinta if you could lead us in the pledge of allegiance.
Put your hand across your heart. Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Move on to item number four, public comments on agenda items. This is the time and place of members of the public to address the Transportation Committee on items on the agenda. Is there anyone in the public audience that would like to address this?
No, Chair, we have none.
Thank you. We'll move on now to item number five. This is Chair Executive Director announcements.
Yeah, I do have an announcement. I think it passed along to some of you, or perhaps all of you, an email on Friday. There's some federal funds that used to be distributed directly to county transportation commissions. They're called STPG and CMAC, and a new program called CMP, Congestion Management Program. And these funds used to go to RCTC, and then CBAG would get its quote fair share, which is about 20%. And the federal government came in and gave, kind of slapped the hand of county transportation commissions and SCAG. Statewide, it wasn't just in Southern California, a couple of years ago, it said, you're not doing it right. It has to be done competitively. Fast forward, each of the county transportation commissions in Southern California created a new system for doing it competitively. And I see one of your colleagues is chuckling a little bit because the way it was designed wasn't all that competitive at first. And here in Riverside County, RCTC proposed that essentially its one project be the top-ranked project going forward to SCAG for federal funds. Mr. Gregory saw what was happening. We paid some attention to it as a body here and addressed it with RCTC. Many of you, of course, are on the RCTC on the commission itself. RCTC agreed to allow one project from the Coachella Valley also be highly ranked. We put forward Indian Canyon and asked for $30 million. There's likely, $30 million, we assumed that Riverside County would get about $30 million of these funds. So we figured ask for all of them. We're going to go for competition. SCAG has made their recommendation and good news, although I would certainly like to get more, SCAG is recommending $7.5 million for Indian Canyon. That's a big deal. And importantly for the Coachella Valley, another $5 million for Sunline Transit for five new clean fuel vehicles. The balance of the awards will go to RCTC for their I-15 project and to the City of Banning and to Riverside RTA, Riverside Transportation Authority, or Transit Agency. With that, those decisions will be made on Thursday. We've alerted our SCAG representatives, and we'll also have staff, right, Emmanuel? We'll be traveling to LA to make sure that we get what, at the very least, what was recommended, that $7.5 million, and that will go part of the way to funding the Indian Canyon project, which I'm sure will be over $100 million by the time we get to construction. And if you might remember, we did get $50 million earlier, so we're well on the way to getting at least a fair share of state and federal resources to pay for that project, which is certainly good news. By the way, Monroe ranked very highly in this process as well.
Yay.
We're just not sure, we know, frankly, why it didn't get funded, but the fact that it was highly ranked gives us some cause for optimism in future rounds if they're also fully competitive, which will remind the RCTC again next time the federal funds are let out. Under full competition, I think the Coachella Valley will do well. If it's a gamed system, we will not do well. So we'll keep our eyes on that in future rounds.
Is that a matter of adding bike lanes?
My guess is the Monroe package included a bike lane, which might have given it some extra points there. The scoring process rubric isn't very clear. It appears, if I had to guess, it was more of a political decision than anything else. But at least on a political decision, we got perhaps a little bit more than our fair share in those scheme of things.
There's no politics in transportation.
No, never. So, we've acknowledged him before, but your RCTC commissioner, Gregory, alerted us of the potential problem. And good work to the Coachella Valley for protecting our interest.
Thank you for that update. We'll move on now to item number 6. This is a consent calendar.
Excuse me, Chair. I'm sorry to interrupt you. We do have a committee member on Zoom who is requested to use AV2449. I'd like to introduce that now.
Welcome.
It is the member from the City of Palm Desert, Mayor Pro Tem Jan Harnick. And if you could please state the reason for your usage of AV2449.
Muted. Sorry, I just got it unmuted.
If you could please state the reason for your usage of AV2449.
Oops.
And
I'm not somewhere I should really have the video on, so I'm going to take the video off, but I will be on.
Okay, can you state the reason for your usage of AV2449 if it's just cause or emergency circumstances?
It's just cause.
And is there anyone over the age of 18 present in the room with you? And if so, what is their name and their relationship to you?
No, there is not.
Okay, member, and if we can please leave the video on, it is a requirement.
Okay. All right, I will.
Thank you.
Thank you, and welcome to the meeting. We'll move on now to item number 6. This is the consent calendar. What are the wishes of the committee? Your motion?
Move the second.
Second. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any abstentions? Saying no. Seeing none. Motion carries. We'll move on now to item number 7. This is establishing a Vision Zero program. Mark and Councillor, welcome. Your first presentation in front of us.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Stephen, Chairman, and all committee members this morning. My name is Mark Lancaster. I'm the Assistant Director of Transportation for CBAG. This morning, the agenda item that I'm presenting is to establish a Vision Zero statement, to adopt a resolution supporting the Vision Zero. It is a statement that basically says that our goal in the Coachella Valley is to have zero fatal and severe injury accidents. Pretty simple and straightforward. It applies to motorists, to bicyclists, and to pedestrians. It is the goal. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Sorry, Kevin.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead, next. Okay, so it's for motorists, bicycles, and pedestrians, especially bicyclists and pedestrians, which are the most vulnerable users of our roadways. Next, please. It establishes the goal of eliminating fatal and severe injury accidents across Coachella Valley. What this does for us is to reinforce. Next. It reinforces previous investments that the CBAG board has made across the Coachella Valley on roadway improvements, safe signalizing intersections, all sorts of safety improvements that have been done over the years. Next, please. What are the best benefits moving forward into the future is that it better positions CVAG for in pursuit of state and federal funding for all sorts of programs, but particularly the Highway Safety Improvement Program, or HSIP, and the Safe Streets for All program, which is a new federal program that we're going to pursue funding for, federal funding for all sorts of projects. Next. It also leverages the regional resource of CV Sync to apply safety measures on a regional level. And this is going to be a benefit for everything because everybody in every jurisdiction, because this is something that is being implemented. It is a very important program, I believe, CV Sync. I've heard agencies talk about it for 25 years, and I believe the Coachella Valley is the first agency that is really doing something about synchronizing signals across the Coachella Valley to improve traffic flow, which has all sorts of other positive benefits. So the request from staff today is for the committee to adopt resolution number 24002. To establish a Vision Zero policy and direct our executive director to develop a Vision Zero action plan. That is something, once the policy has been established by the committee, staff will then work on a plan with all the jurisdictions across CVAG in order to adopt a action plan. That concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
How much to the resolution?
Second motion, second second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any abstentions? City of Blythe?
Aye.
DuPont de Aye.
I can read lips too. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Move on now to item number B. This is Project Elements for CV.
Hi, good morning, Honorable Chair, members of the Transportation Committee. Gustavo Gomez, Management Analyst in Transportation. The item before you is a recommendation to the committee for the Executive Committee to authorize the Executive Director to negotiate and approve a purchase agreement with Landscape Forms. Great. In the amount to not to exceed $170,000. Just some quick background. In April of 2022, the CVAG Executive Committee adopted a resolution and accepted Clean California grants that is administered by Caltrans. CVAG, in partnership with the cities of Coachella, the city of Cathedral City, were successful in securing $1.1 million in funding for the community connectors. In December of 2023, the CVAG Executive Committee approved the reimbursement agreement with the City of Cathedral City to commence work on the CV Link connector at the Esperanza Park, formerly known as the Dream Homes Park. The city held a groundbreaking ceremony on April 3rd, and the work is ongoing. For the City of Coachella, CVAG is in the process of finalizing the design to complete the community connector on Avenue 52 and Hernandez Street. However, to maintain the regional CV Link branding, ensure scheduled deadlines are met and that the supplied vendor material is consistent, CVAG is recommending for the executive director to authorize the pre-purchase of these items, which includes the shade structure, trash receptacles, bike racks, and benches. Pre-purchasing for these materials will follow the same process that CVAG has done for the construction of the CV Link, for purchasing the seated glass and solar lights. Landscape Forms is the vendor that CVAG has been used since the beginning of the entirety of the CV Link project. And I would also like to note that these costs are covered by the grant. So it is staff's recommendation today to authorize the executive director to negotiate and approve a purchase agreement with Landscape Forms and pre-purchase a shade structure, trash receptacles, benches, and bike racks for the CV Link community connector in Coachella in an amount known to exceed $170,000. That concludes my staff report. I'm ready to, if you have any questions for staff.
Questions? There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
City of Blythe?
Yes.
City of Palm Desert?
It looks like she stepped away.
Okay. Any abstentions? Any no's? Motion carries. Moving on now to a contract amendment with Andrew and Vendery for Cindy Link to the board.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, members of the committee. The item before you is for a contract amendment with Answer Advisory. Answer Advisory is the construction management consultant that CVAG hired back in 2020 when we started work on CVLink. Their original scope was to help us prepare segments for bid. They would provide construction oversight, coordinate with our various stakeholders, and get approvals for permitting as we went to construction. Over time, though, there's been some construction delays related to a number of items I'll review with you here. But the original contract was about a three-year contract. We were expecting to be done in 2023. Because of these delays, now the end project date is 2025. So there's an extended period of time that this construction manager is going to be doing work. So to account for that and for some of the additional work, we're asking for a contract amendment. Some of these items are related to unmarked utilities and redesigning, permitting, environmental mitigation, and conflicting projects. Most significantly are how these relate to items of work within Coachella Valley Water District. For example, unmarked utilities, there was a domestic water line discovered at Jefferson Street, and the whole water line had to be redesigned, not CVLink. And that took about nine months to just get that reworked and resolved with CVWD. Conflicting projects, the CVWD also had a project south of Avenue 54 to Avenue 56, where they were doing a reconstructing the slope and installing slope lining. And their contractor was delayed about a year. So we couldn't even get in and start work for a year because we had to wait for that. In addition to that, there's been other environmental mitigations, burrowing owls that we have to work around and bats underneath bridges. And so there's been a number of issues we've had to work with. We also worked with CVWD on their recharge ponds in Palm Desert, east of Cook Street. And we worked about a year to try to coordinate that. And then at the end of this work with CVWD, we figured out that we can't really coexist with them. And we moved the path to Cook Street. So that segment was removed from this particular project. And we're going to get it done in a future phase. So there's been a lot of work done. And not only conflicts, we've also tried to complement our interaction with the flood control facility. We are trying to coexist with a major drainage facility that protects the whole valley. We don't just want to coexist, we want to complement. And on Avenue 52 in Coachella, we worked with the district to put in a new access and staging area just south of 52. But that work required some import and some dewatering. And so there was other work that we had to do to make that work. But we definitely improved the system for CVWD as well as for our users on the CVLink path. So our
clarify that access and staging is not access and staging for CVLink, it's access and staging for CVWD.
Yes.
Maintenance of the channel.
Yes. Thank you.
I'm wondering that maybe we could kind of change the name to CVLink, CVWD Improvement,
CVWD Maintenance Road. And you might remember, for those who've been around long enough, on this road of the building, we are building a road, is the strongest roadway in the Coachella Valley, except for Interstate 10. It is a piece of concrete. That
so it'll hold me and my bicycle.
I didn't say it was unbreakable. I mean,
The recommendation is to approve this amendment to extend the term to the 2025 and then add an additional $6 million to the contract. They did provide a staffing plan to justify the work that they're going to be doing. Because of these delays, instead of the work happening consecutively, it's all pushed to this last year where we're having to have three different contracts being worked on at the same time, multiple crews. They need multiple construction oversight crews as well. So But we're getting towards the end. We should have this substantially complete by the end of this calendar year, all six segments.
And you know what, on this concrete thing, I was watching the news, which I rarely do this morning, and it mentioned that, you know, it's going to get hot out there, shocker, and, you know, it's going to be 105 or whatever it is later this week. And but if you're on asphalt, it's going to be 130. If you're on concrete, it's going to be 115. And that is one of the reasons we put concrete out there. It's certainly a more forgiving surface and a better one, certainly long-term maintenance. So I'm glad that we went with concrete. I just wish we didn't have to do quite as much concrete as we ended up doing. But that's a little aside, but it's certainly going to be a project that lasts a lifetime or more.
Thank you. That completes my staff report. I can
answer. Any questions?
Move the item.
Second.
Wondering if maybe we ought to give a policy recommendation to our sister cities and say, hey, CVWD is doing work, haven't built out any of your infrastructure that you may need.
Well, and we know there's a number of, for those that work in the CVWD, the drainage channel, we know there are a number of issues, and I'll be working with the city managers and public works staff to perhaps circle back with the CVWD about improving the coordination between local agencies like cities and county and CVAG and the district, because it certainly has been a challenge. And that said, 20 years ago, CVWD would not have allowed the project in the stormwater channel, so they've come a long way, and I've got to grant them that.
Well, there's a motion, there's a second.
Well, I realized how much money they've been losing.
Everybody else doing their deferred maintenance.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Phidias Blythe?
Aye.
Palm Desert?
Yes. Can you please allow the record to reflect that Palm Desert voted yes on 7B as well?
Allow that to the record. There are no abstentions and there are no no's. With that, we'll move on to item number D. This is an update to the transportation project prioritization study, the TPPS. Mr. Boyd, we're spending money that we potentially might have, right?
we're planning for what's come. So every 5 years, typically, we look at updating our transportation project prioritization study. And along with that study comes another, has multiple elements within it, not only the transportation project prioritization study, but also the RACE, which is the cost estimate associated with those improvements, and then also the active transportation plan, which also is an element to the current TPPS. And then all those numbers, once we get a total cost and a project list for all the projects that on our system, that feeds in as a Nexus study and into the Nexus study for the TUMP. The last TPPS was done in 2016 and the last TUMP update was 2017. So, but in 2020, we considered doing an update, but at that time we were dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic and we decided to postpone it until things returned to somewhat normal. We're back into pre-COVID levels of traffic. We've also had the approval of the 2024 traffic relief plan. So there's projects that we need to add to this. So we want to begin the process of updating this plan. And to remind you, back when we did the 2016 plan and the subsequent 2017 TUMF Nexus study, we had originally had a list of projects that was $3.4 billion. And then what we did with this, the TUMF subcommittee, we looked at adjusting the TPPS scores because we looked at the approximate 300 projects that were part of the TPPS and was it really realistic to complete all of those? So an adjustment was made to just look at the projects with a greater score than 7.5. And so that adjusted cost was 2.8. And then that fed into the TUMF fee. So that's where we're looking at costs that was related to TUMF. Now, since 2016, almost 8 years later, we've seen construction cost index increasing across the board. We've seen that in our projects. We also have seen that in our major infrastructure in the last recently completed, we say recent, but about 8 years ago, we completed these projects, six interchanges for a little over $250 million. And now looking at our remaining nine, we can see this continues to grow and grow and grow. So we really had to take that into account on this next TPPS in the race. One quick example is I-10 Monroe. As we've worked on that project, we had an $89 million estimate back in 2020. And then to account for the increased cost and different elements, we had to adjust the project to complete it. We ended up with a funding gap that then again increased the local and regional share based on our 75-25% cost share policy. So these costs are rising across the board. Additionally, we didn't have CV Rail back then. So when we consider the CV Rail at an estimated cost of over $1.5 billion, we need to consider that in our plan. Back when the environmental tier two was approved, a formula was calculated with RCTC, where Coachella Valley was fronting or having to pay for about 64% of that rail based on track miles. So we have another almost $1 billion of construction dollars to account for down the road when we get to the rail. We've also added with the TRP the managed lanes. So considering doing a study throughout Coachella Valley to look at what some additional express lanes alternatives would be. So adding this into our TPPS is also appropriate. So looking at our 2016 regional arterial system, and then adding in the construction cost index and some of these projects, just a rough estimate where I'm looking at over $7.6 billion for our new race for our TPPS. That's just a quick estimate based on what we know today, but we'll go through the whole TPPS project. And as we've talked many times before, this feeds right into our cash flow projections. When we look at our regional 10-year plan and consider all those additional costs, we don't have the funding long-term to build all these interchanges. And just to remind you, looking at last year's sales tax, we get about $26 million from Measure A, had about $7 million from TUMF. And then if we look at the five-year, look at an annual share of our five-year STIP, it's about $2.3 million. That's how much regular revenue we receive to plan from every year. And we've talked about this before, just looking at the local streets, the gas tax and then SB1 tax, which goes to local cities and agencies and the county. They have about $17 million a year to use for road maintenance. So how do we address this? We've talked about some alternatives. That these alternatives will be reviewed again as we get the TPPS updated. We have a current cost share. We could look at adjusting that. We can increase the TUMF. Currently, we had the ability to charge about $8,400 per single family dwelling, but we adjusted the fee down to $2,700. If you compare that to the RCOG at a $10,000 per square single family dwelling, and that's the old number. I believe there's talk of increasing that.
They are planning on increasing that by 50%, 50% in West Riverside County. Your top 15, so that's right. So I think Dennis, you're probably aware of that program since you sit on both sides or all sides of the county and the impact that's going to have on, obviously building and affordability is going to be pretty significant. And that certainly could happen here too.
And then we have potential for a sales tax. And what would that do? We looked at a potential for a new measure. We looked at this for a number of years now with the cash flow updates. And if we did have a new measure, what that would do to our cash flow, we added a cent. We would be, in the black and not in the red. But we have to do this TPPS update to figure out how, what our final numbers are, what our new TPPS estimate is. And looking at the schedule to move forward, the last time we went through this process, we hired a consultant in 2014 and the plan was approved in 2016. So this is a long process to get done. We've already started somewhat. There's an item on tonight's executive committee to approve a pavement management plan. The criteria is to stay looks at pavement conditions. So we'll be getting an update on pavement conditions throughout all of our network. Over the summer, we look at hiring a consultant and getting a consultant to come on board to help us with TPPS. We'll bring that contract back to the Transportation Committee for approval. We also will look at the criteria. We had there's qualifying criteria that we look at to see which segment qualifies as a TPPS road, and then there's prioritization criteria, and we'll look at both of them. And for example, the qualification criteria would include things like, does it connect to I-10? Does it go through multiple agencies? Does it have an ADT of more than 20,000? We'll look at all that again. And then for the prioritization, we looked at surface condition, we looked at continuity, we looked at congestion, which was a level of service, and we also looked at safety. So we'll look at all those again, and all that is subject to change for this new TPPS. For example, back in 2010, we didn't have a criteria for low water crossings, and we noticed that was a major issue in many cities, and so we added that in as qualifying criteria. We also looked at, in 2016, we considered things like cost benefit, which didn't ultimately get added, but we looked at that. And those are some things we could look at again with this TPPS update. We could look at, since we have a cash flow challenge, we could look at cost benefit. We could look at VMT reductions. We could look at other mobility improvements. So we'll go through all those criteria again, and we'll bring that back to you. And we will also be starting to reach out to all of your agency staff in public works and engineering and planning to go over our list and help us with the TPPS selection of a consultant, and we'll work hand in hand to get this project updated. So this item is just information. You can answer any questions you have. I just want to let you know what our plans were to update the TPPS.
Okay. Any questions? I do have a quick question. I'd just like to see that chart one more time, Jonathan. You had a chart a minute ago that shows if the 1% sales tax passes, how we end up on a cash flow basis. Would you show us that one more time?
This one?
Yes. So I guess that tells us how important the 1% sales tax would be.
If yes, it does. If it's put on the ballot and if it passes, it does. It's a game changer, as our chair whispered to me a minute ago. And certainly a game changer with respect to particularly CV Rail. We do expect to get a fair amount of state and federal resources for CV Rail, but I don't think there's any expectation that state and federal governments are going to pick up $1.5 billion. There'll be a significant local contribution to the project.
John, I know that we've been a self-help region for a long time, but we've also done a good job of going after state federal dollars. The state has essentially said that capacity enhancement projects, they don't look to us to fund them. I mean, that's what I keep hearing, right? And the Fed hasn't said that yet, right? I mean, as we're thinking about this, and we're obviously planning on self-help all the way, but from kind of a legislative standpoint, or like in terms of where we should really go advocate to get money for capacity enhancement projects, what's the Fed saying?
Well, they have programs out that are focused on safety and bridges, and they have their priorities that they've which are part of the programs that we can go after. They haven't explicitly said no capacity enhancement, but we do have a much smaller pool of money available spread out throughout the country. And so it's really highly competitive as we've seen. We can come back with different kind of funding options when we go to the TPPS and kind of get a strategy for a funding plan to go after different opportunities.
I think that'd be prudent that we look at, you know, a good strategy for state and federal, and how we can get other people's money to help offset costs.
I just wanted to comment. Thank you so much for the presentation. You know, the TPPS is very important for our region, and I think the process is very important in that it remains. We talked about, made a little quip about there's no politics in transportation, right? Your TPPS could get very political, and so I'm glad to hear that the plan is to use some real criteria as to how things are put on there and how they're ranked. Because, you know, we see in some of our other transportation even related organizations, or our West, especially West County organizations, how
politics pull power will often dictate which projects get the priority, even if those aren't the ones that are necessarily meeting the greatest need. That's kind of the greatest need. Look at that. You know, we live, you know. So I've always been very proud because I've been involved out here in the Coachella Valley, how we base things on need. And we also have we also look at equity in there and environmental justice and these other issues that are sometimes given lip service in other regions but aren't necessarily part of the decision-making process, or at least making the final decision. So I hope as we could continue to go through this process and redo this, that we will continue to be using equitable criteria and making sure that we're not manipulating the process so certain projects in certain, you know, areas will move up higher or lower. And so I appreciate the transparency in this process and hope that is going to continue. I know we'll continue to speak up and if we see something going awry, but I hope that will continue. This group's always been really good about that. The other thing I wanted to mention is there's always talk about the cities having more money because of SB1. And so hopefully when we get to that, it won't be given short shift, because if we get to where we are proposing a change in the local share, that's going to be a big deal, because although SB1 was a great thing and cities are certainly, and counties certainly using it to try to catch up on some of their deferred maintenance, it's always going to be a little bit of a contention, I think, with CMAG, where the city's got more money and we haven't been really gotten increased funding. But from the city point of view, I think that rings hollow because of the great need that there is to continue to do road maintenance in the cities and how far we are all behind in that. And so I know it's not being alluded to that there's so much money out there that there's extra, because I think that's not the case. And that'll become important if we talk about an adjustment of the share. And again, when we're talking about equity, because I would hate us to get to a position where poorer cities or regions are not able to move forward on projects because they're not able to come up with the extra share, local share, that they would have if CBAG were to go, say, from a 75-25 to a 50-50, those types of things. So again, I have confidence that this group will continue to keep that as a element in mind.
If I can make two quick points, and I heard everything you're saying and couldn't agree with you more. And I do have a little SB1 jealousy, I suppose.
That, it comes out.
It comes out. I remind everybody that I wish we, you know, the region got some money to build new projects, and we really haven't. That said, to remind us about how unusual the Coachella Valley is, and that we have used this TPPS for 30 years, and it is surprisingly apolitical, not very political. It's a priority system, and kind of point to it and say, at the top of their list, it's our turn to move forward. Another example of that is what I'm going to be doing tomorrow night in the city of Desert Hot Springs. And that's give an update on Indian Canyon. And notably, when Jonathan and I started the work on looking at the Western Coachella Valley and flooding issues, and we all together with Cathedral City, Palm Springs, and Desert Hot Springs looked at the 20 projects that need to be addressed in Desert Hot Springs, Cathedral City, and Palm Springs. We went around to the city and said, all right, what's the priority? And we kind of looked through things. And in the city of Desert Hot Springs and Cathedral City, they said, do Indian Canyon outside of their jurisdictional boundaries. Highest priority for the city of Desert Hot Springs, at least what I heard, was outside of the city of Desert Hot Springs. And that's kind of unusual when you go forward.
Well, they don't want to let construction, you know, all that noise and
pollution. Exactly. And then the second point about their chair pointed out, you know, we should keep an eye on federal funding. One reminder is a lot of the federal, and I'm sure your constituents and neighbors and family members say, oh, wasn't there a federal infrastructure bill? There's, you know, billions of dollars. It's like less than 10% of the infrastructure bill was about infrastructure, right, by the way. And most of that money is funneled through the state of California, not directly to agencies and some kind of competitive amount, but there's some of that. an example of LTCAP, where we got $50 million. There was $300 million of federal money that went to the state, and the state created guidelines, which we did very well on. But one of those guidelines was it can't be a capacity-enhancing project. I'll bet you it's the only state of the 50 that took the federal dollars and said, you can't build something that allows more people to use it. The state of California is unique, good, bad, or indifferent. It's difficult in a growing region like ours to deal with state rules that really say, get on a subway or you know, mass transit in some form when 99% of folks here are using automobiles for one fashion or another. So we continue to be challenged by that. We do our best and we are competing reasonably well. But that ultimately, if we want to continue to build capacity here, we're going to have to fund it ourselves.
Yeah.
My two soapbox.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, and I just know that we've been very competitive directly going to the Fed. And, you know, I know the state does what it does, and I think there's other efforts we need to do, whether at SCAG or whether directly with our legislators to say, hey, you know, you're pushing RENA numbers our way, you're pushing all these requirements our way. This criteria that you have now at, you know, the Transportation Commission or whatever, that we can't spend or we're not going to prioritize capacity enhancement projects is putting us at a disadvantage. So we need to just kind of continue to connect the dots everywhere we go and then just trying to make sure that we can bring something home, you know, because every other area brought something home when that criteria wasn't there, you know. So it's just we got to keep continue to just advocate and see what we can do. But, all right,
so it's information only, and you're going to see more of this. There'll be decisions being made by this committee that would ultimately move forward to the executive committee.
All right, item number 8 is information only. Item number 9, public comments on non agenda items. Any finding the public seeing that?
None, Chair.
Well, I promise you to get you out in less than an hour.
Mr. Chair, just real quick, on our next transportation meeting is August 26th, and we usually do that the last Monday in August, but it conflicts with Budget and Implementation Committee at RCTC, and quite a few of us sit on, or at least 3 of us sit on there. I know. Could we maybe move that meeting to 11 o'clock? They're allowing us to do a remote now here in Palm Desert, so 9:30 to 10:30, really out in less than an hour. So,
we'll just do that, and we'll obviously double check with everybody's calendars on that. But why don't we assume that that change is going to be made, and we'll double back to all of the city clerks on it.
Thank you for the suggestion, and again, announcements from the Transportation Committee. Executive Committee is later on, that's tonight, that's for Thursday.
It is.
And then the next General Assembly meeting will be on Monday, June 24th.
And a shout out, of course, to the General Assembly, which is being held at the Desert Hot Springs Recreation Center. I always call it Boys and Girls Club.
Health and Wellness Center.
Is it?
Health and Wellness
Center. Health and Wellness Center it is. And that'll be 6 p.m. Tickets are really very reasonable, $50. So make sure you attend. Will be interesting. Looking forward to the mayor leading the his last meeting of the year.
We are adjourned.